It's the Morning Conversation on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A presentation of Becky Holm, your insurance professional, focusing on Medicare, Marketplace, dental, and life.
Oregon's U.S. Senator Jeff Merkley beginning a series of town hall meetings tomorrow, but he's still back in the nation's capital today, just off the floor of the Senate. Senator, good morning.
Good morning, Kyle. It's great to be with you, and I'm looking forward to getting home later tonight, hopefully by before midnight.
Well, you've got this town hall tour getting started, and Saturday you'll be at Umpqua Community College in the Southern Oregon Wine Institute. How important are these town halls to you?
It's hugely important. By the way, that'll be at 11 a.m., so folks, invite you to come out and share your thoughts. The whole point of the town hall is to listen to folks. I'll give a little introduction, but it'll be very short. I want to hear what people are thinking, be it issues of how we're managing the federal budget, which, of course, I have a lot of concerns over, international affairs, or the cost of everything going up. Whatever it is that's on your mind, come and share it.
How do you have civil discourse in this increasingly polarized political climate?
You know, Senator Wyden and I have made this such an Oregon institution of going to every county. And I start by saying, hey, we're able to do this. No other senators, pair of senators anywhere in the country are holding town halls like this because of the Oregon way, which means that if someone's speaking and you disagree, in fact, they infuriate you, it's still your responsibility to listen to them respectfully, let them have their say so everyone can exercise their freedom of speech and we can hear their views. And when it's your turn, we'll ask everyone to do the same. Well, and Oregonians have really adopted that culture of respectful commentary at town halls, and I hope we can preserve this forever.
And it really does seem like the polarization out there is just going through the roof.
Oh, yeah. Well, I keep thinking, could it be even more polarized? I mean, we do have the challenge of different cable networks present different sets of facts. The advantage when I was growing up was we had three networks that kind of said the same story. So even if it was wrong, it was the same set of facts you started with. And now we just have very different stories coming from different places, and it adds to the polarization. And I'll tell you, the dark money in politics, all that money that, like, if you and I make a donation, it's publicly disclosed. But if a billionaire puts $5 million into a Senate race by giving it to a friend of the candidate rather than to the candidate, they don't even have to be disclosed. It can be done secretly, and it's used all for smear campaigns. So that's also added to the polarization.
Well, and I run through a few different things this morning. Venezuela, talk about your reaction to recent events.
A big mistake to proceed to engage in regime change. Listen, Maduro's terrible. No question about it. But what we're doing is preserving the dictatorship, but just asking for a more compliant dictator. This is gunboat diplomacy. We're basically saying, well, we're not going to advocate for democracy. If we were, we would be advocating for the person who won. His name's Gonzalez. He won the election 18 months ago when the Venezuelan people voted for democracy. Instead, we're saying we're just going to leave the dictatorship in place, but it has to be a dictatorship that does what we want, and what we want is for our corporations to take over your oil. And that's gunboat diplomacy that is so resented around the world and doesn't give the future of Venezuela to the Venezuelan people in their quest for freedom. I think that's what we should be doing. We should be fighting for them to be able to control their own future, their own freedom, their own democratic republic.
Recently, Secure Rural Schools got through the House and ultimately headed to the president's desk. Comment on that.
It sure did. Oh, man, I am so pleased about this. Senator Wyden and I have pushed this so hard. It's a program he created, and you know, I'm now 18 years into fighting for it, and every time it's hard, because there's only a few states that benefit, and of those states, it's Oregon that by far has the lion's share, and that makes it a tough accomplishment. But there's even more we need to do beyond that. We need to have more funds go back to the counties when there are timber sales, or when there are stewardship deals, or where there's collaboratives doing cutting. There's more we can do on forest management in terms of thinning the forest, preventing the fires, doing more prescribed fires. I mean, there's a lot more to be done.
It's been a seesaw battle for counties, really, with a few years not getting Secure Rural Schools funds.
Yeah, no, it's the... it's really regretful because you can't count on it. The county commissioners haven't been able to count on it. And those funds, they don't just, you know, we call it rural schools, but it goes a lot of it into transportation and a lot of it into local police, sheriff's departments. So we would like to have a permanent authorization. And not have it be something we have to get a new vote on every two or three years. But in the context of the kind of the uphill push we have for it, we haven't been able to accomplish that permanent authorization.
Yesterday, your office put out a release regarding the school access to Naloxone Act. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, we need to fight the fentanyl and cocaine deaths in every way we can. Of course, that means interdiction for sure. That means stopping China from sending the precursors to Mexico, stopping Mexico from making the fentanyl, stopping it at the border, educating our kids that one pill can kill. But we should have the antidote that so often saves lives available. And every time we lose a teenager or a child in Oregon because we don't have access to Naloxone, no, we can do better. This would simply enable school districts to be able to get grants to train someone on their staff how to administer it, to have it available so it can be grabbed in an emergency. I don't know anybody who opposes this, so I'm just hoping we can get it done.
Yeah, well, and in fact, you went across the aisle with Senator Rick Scott to push this one forward.
Absolutely. Sure did. I've worked with people across the aisle on almost every single bill I do. And by the way, for years, I've been advocating that we have to get the hedge funds out of the single-family market. I've talked about it at my town halls, I think, for 4 years now. And guess who yesterday said we need to get the hedge funds out of the residential housing market?
It was the president.
It was the president of the United States. I couldn't get anybody across the aisle to co-sponsor my bill, but now I've got two Republican senators who are interested now that Trump has laid that out. And I'm like, yes, damn it. All right. That's great. The dream of home ownership, it is dying. It is. I live in a blue-collar community. It's simple three-bedroom houses where the bedrooms are 8x10. Maybe the largest one is 10x10. Single bathroom serving everybody, no master bath, any of that. And the price is $450,000. How the hell can anybody buy a house anymore? And a lot of it's competition with hedge funds. Not all of it. I mean, there's other factors, like we need to build a lot larger supply of starter homes. But a lot of it is related to the hedge funds buying up America. Let's free our next generation from competition with billionaires.
Let's talk about priorities for the new session of Congress. What are you really going to be working on?
Well, a key piece is getting our spending bills done so that we don't end up in another shutdown or end up with a continuing resolution. I worked with Lisa Murkowski, Republican from Alaska, on an interior bill on the Senate side. We got the bill done. It's going to be voted on today in the House, we expect, and in the Senate next week. So getting those spending bills done and then hopefully being able to focus on key policy. And I come back to the four foundations. It's housing, healthcare, education, and a good-paying job. Those are the foundations that enable a family to thrive. But we've got to address the costs that are pressing families to the wall.
And remind people of your at least main committee assignments and how you feel you can have an impact for Oregon there.
You bet. Appropriations, that's a spending committee. I knew from interning with Senator Hatfield 50 years ago now, this year, summer of 1976, our bicentennial year, how important it was to have an Oregonian on the spending committee, because that allows me to weigh in on Oregon's priorities on basically all aspects of the federal government. And then I serve on environment and public works, and that includes a lot of transportation issues, obviously very important to our state. And then I serve on foreign affairs as well, so I'm immersed in some of our foreign policy issues. Those are the key pieces, but then I'm the top Democrat on the budget committee, and that came in a lot last year in terms of how we laid out a budget that set the framework for the spending bills.
Well, you've got eight town halls coming up. It's going to be a busy Friday through Saturday, and again, the Douglas County Town Hall, 11 a.m. at the college at the Southern Oregon Wine Institute, and folks are invited to come out to that. Senator Jeff Merkley, just off the floor of the Senate. Senator, we'll let you get back to your work there. Thanks for being on this morning.
Thanks so much, Kyle. I look forward to seeing everybody this weekend.
8:41 at the Morning Report.
Hey, Becky here, helping folks make sense.